Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment presents The Process.
What up, everyone? Let's continue the process. I'm Ralph Larkin, and what I have for you is a special look at running back targets in rounds 2 through 4. Episode 1 covered the first round running backs, and we also discussed where to go after the 4th round of your draft. So this is about filling in the middle of that draft. The process will also have an episode available after this one, this upcoming holiday weekend. But of course, you'll still be able to listen to this episode as well. All right, on to our targets. Round 2, running back targets. Let's imagine, guys, just for a second, you've already begun your fantasy football draft, and luckily you listened to episode 1 of the process, so you felt prepared for the first round. Whether you took a running back or a wide receiver, you're probably well placed to start the hard work of building your championship squad. At this point, you are in the driver's seat because you put in the time to listen and understand what moves should be made instead of just showing up with your printed out Yahoo rankings. At this point, really the only thing you need to be worried about is the hot air biscuit it looks like your buddy Phil is sending your way. But as Phil dives into the taco dip, a move he knows will haunt him later, you're going to dive into a move that you know will seal the deal for you this year and leave the suckers oh so hurt, and that's your adjusted player rankings. Here are your running back targets for round 2. Jerick McKinnon. I'm stoked about the things that this guy has a chance to do this year, y'all. At first glance, you know we have to be interested at McKinnon simply because of his lead back status and a good run scheme. The NFL is its own demanding beast, and it taxes the body thusly. This is why you have to have so many tandem and committee backfields. That's, you know, 2 and 3 guys respectively, because the position is so demanding. Not to mention the versatility and speed of NFL defenses today. You now have to power run, and you have to have cutback options. So you need to pass out of the backfield. Generally, all these things we need usually add up to a tandem or committee to meet the needs. There will be plotters and power inside run guys that may be more beneficial on first and second down, but on third down, you need that pass catching running back. So perhaps we sub in a running back who meets those needs. What am I saying, though? I guess what I'm saying is it takes a special kind of running back to shoulder the job completely if healthy. This means he sufficiently pass blocks and catches the ball, as well as runs hard between the tackles on early down work. He can attack the edge. He can convert short yardage situations. Y'all, he is the man. Starting to get the picture? Those top-end running back ones are all like this generally, but McKinnon fits this mold too. And I'm all too happy to look for him early in the second round. From early on in his short NFL career, McKinnon has steadily been compared to Devontae Freeman. Freeman rushed for 1,604 and 1,541 yards in the 2 years he worked in Kyle Shanahan's offense. Now that he's in the Bay Area, I suspect that Coach Shanahan will not have a problem inserting McKinnon into his running plans. There was friction with Hyde, and he wasn't the best running back for the system, but we see the numbers that Carlos Hyde put up last year in that offense. In fact, Carlos Hyde had a career year and finished 8th in PPR format among all running backs, or RB8, as you may hear me say. Here's the kicker, people. He did it even though Matt Breida saw over 100 touches, 100-plus touches. That's crazy. So McKinnon flourishes in systems like this one in San Fran. They deploy a nice zone block slash outside zone blocking run scheme. I think they actually get better on the line, too, with the addition of the ninth overall pick, rookie right tackle Mike McGlinchey from Notre Dame. The kid makes quick adjustments and is very athletic. Just as Dallas Cowboys Pro Bowl defensive end, DeMarcus Lawrence. He had 14 and a half sacks last year. But those two definitely got a workout in during the NFL preseason opener. I've got no doubt that Jerick McKinnon will get the reps and feast. Draft this man in this round or risk losing out on something that is lining up pretty well. Dalvin Cook. I know there are some people that believe Kirk Cousins is going to light it up this year, but I just don't know. When you look at the makeup of this team, I truly believe that the Minnesota Vikings will be able to impose their will on a lot of teams. They're going to be methodical. And I say this because it's well known that Coach Zimmer and staff love them some analytics. Not every team has a department for analytics, but these guys do. And they're going to be physical. They will run the football and eat clock on inferior would-be opponents. This is why I'm investing in the run game more so in terms of Minnesota. Not saying Diggs or Cousins or Rudolph are bad picks, but I like where Mr. Cook is right here in the second round. I think the passing attack will keep teams on their heels defensively, which means Cook will have green in front of him and be playing downhill, as they say. How fun. While this offensive line is lackluster, they're a lackluster group. I think they will be better than the unit from last year. For these guys, the zone blocking that the coaching staff will look to deploy will help to mask some of their deficiencies. They also added second round pick tackle Brian O'Neill from Pitt. Dude is a work in progress, but this is still stability for a unit that has its challenges in terms of depth and health. All in all, though, Cook flashed hard when he was healthy last year. 354 yards in four games ain't bad at all. The zone blocking will open up some cutback lanes for Cook this season, but he can't be a higher pick because we really need to see what he'll be able to do. We'll really need to see if he'll be able to massively exploit these cutback lanes after the injury. Even if he is healthy, guys, even if he's as healthy as a bull, there's a psychological aspect to it. We should look for Mr. Dalvin Cook here in the second round. Jordan Howard. Next up, this is a guy I think can finish the year, guys, inside of running back 10 territory for the third straight year. What can we say about this two-legged monster of the Midway? Well, I could say a lot of things about him. For starters, my guy here is coming off of back-to-back 1,100-yard seasons. Wait, let's try this one on. In terms of running back rushing yards in their first two seasons for the Chicago Bears franchise, Howard ranks number one. That's right. More than Gale Sayers and Sweetness himself, Walter Payton, through their first 2 years. This Chicago Bears offensive line is pretty darn good, and they have some depth as well, so I don't think they'll have any problems covering up the loss of Josh Sitton. This year, with Darryl Loggins out so he can go ruin, coach the Miami Dolphins offense, Nagy's going to call his own plays, but based on his body of work in Kansas City, we could safely assume there will be more inside zone this year for the Bears. Nagy's offense will consistently disguise and the plays, enabling them to repeatedly run the same effective plays over and over again from different formations. That sounds like great news for Howard. We can safely assume that also there are going to be more snaps from the shotgun for Howard this year. The Bears weren't doing it as often as they should in terms of giving the ball to Howard from the shotgun. But in his first two seasons, he did average 6.5 yards per carry from the shotgun. Week 14 last season, Howard actually exploded. He had 10 carries from the shotgun for 97 yards and 2 touchdowns. If you like some icing on that cake, I got you. 45% of Kareem Hunt's runs last year under Nagy came from the shotgun formation. Melvin Gordon. Let's move forward. Next guy here. Here's the picture of consistency in one Melvin Gordon. How so, you ask? Well, 12 touchdowns each of the last two seasons. Last year, Gordon experienced career highs on the ground as well as receiving, 1,105 yards on the ground and 476 yards in the air. Coach Anthony Lynn just loves to power run. Like, even when his team isn't suited to do it, he's going to run. Let's say it's not working. He's going to run. This offensive line struggled last year, but the Chargers still finished 19th in rushing attempts. The line gets Forrest Lamp back this year, and the team adds Mike Pouncey at center, which could be an upgrade if Pouncey can't stay healthy. Hey, lead back, running crazy coach, do it. Next up, we have Devonta Freeman. Over the last three seasons, here's the running backs, guys, that have more yards from scrimmage than Mr. Freeman. Ready? Ty Gurley, Le'Veon Bell, and LeSean McCoy. That's it. This offense should enjoy some stability as they, you know, enter year two with Steve Sarkisian calling the plays. He should be more acclimated and not feeling as much pressure of replacing the circus show, the high-flying offense that Kyle Shanahan put together and then rolled to the Super Bowl before jetting to the Bay. If Freeman can stay healthy, he should see an uptick in his numbers as he's missed time some past, you know, the past two seasons. It amounts to more than about two-plus games a year, actually. Even so, he still finished as RB13 last year. So if he can stay healthy, it looks good for him. This is a really good run-blocking group, too, in Atlanta. And you know what? One thing I will note, though, and this is why some of these other guys were discussing, I might pull the trigger on first over Freeman. Dude told the press he expects to receive penalties for lowering his head and signifying that he is not going to go too much out of his way to adhere to the new NFL rule about leading with the helmet. Next up, Joe Mixon. Joe is an awesome running back. Okay, Joe is still coming into his own. I think Mixon has upside when you consider that the guy has proven in limited scenarios that he can reliably catch the football. Mixon was third in Oklahoma University history in terms of running back career receiving yards. And then last year, while he was only targeted 34 times, he has slimmed down, hasn't come into camp at about 218 pounds. The Bengals did make an effort to improve their O-line, too. They brought in Cordy Glenn and also drafted rookie Billy Price at center. The Price has received super high praise and has been touted as, like, one of the best center prospects in, you know, the past several years, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, something like that. This will be a tandem, though, because you get Gio Bernard getting the third down work. That's one of the reasons I don't have him higher. Also, there are concerns about his ability to adapt to the zone blocking scheme with its many traps and counters, you know, versus Gio Bernard, who looks to fit the scheme a little better. If you take Joe Mixon, you must hedge your bets, and then later draft Gio. Reference episode 1 about what to do after the 4th round for more on that. 3rd round. Now the 3rd round of your draft, and at this point, you may need another running back. If that's the case, let's take a look at who should be available and key in on who we want with our pick. Lamar Miller. First on our list of 3rd round running backs, Miller is returning to a system that has very little coaching turnover. So look, we can assume he'll be using the same way as he was last season. He shed some pounds to start the year, and also Dante Foreman will start the year on the physically unable to perform list, or the PUP list. Things are lining up good in terms of workload for Lamar Miller, and he's worth a look in this round. Blue's not effective, so Foreman stays out. That looks great for Miller, but he looks to be in fairly decent position. Derrick Henry. Seems like we've been waiting so long for Henry to be the man in Tennessee. Here's a big running back with very good speed. When given the rock, Henry had made the most of his chances. He racked up 191 yards from scrimmage in their playoff game last season. Interestingly, Eddie George has mentored Henry a bit in camp. He's offered some assistance to Henry in terms of pass protection. Henry has a great chance here, and if he wants to maximize the sting of, I'm sorry, if he wants to, excuse me, where's my head? If he wants to minimize the sting of Deion Lewis, he should look to convert these short yardage situations at a higher clip, which we know has been a focus for him. The much heralded Matt LaFleur comes over from the Rams and he'll be the play caller. And although he didn't call plays in LA and he had his hands all over that offensive design, he was right in there with Coach Sean McVay, who did call the plays. We can expect some zone blocking along with quick passes and screens. The Titans, though, are way more suited for power running, so I expect some combo game plans. Henry can play either style, but it will be fun watching him catch those outside zone runs just like he did at Bama. Even though the offensive line is a better pass blocking unit, this is still an effective group. Henry will flourish on first and second down, so you know, you should keep an eye on him in the third round. Alex Collins. All right. Hey, Tiger Bombers, don't sleep on Alex Collins this year. Once the Ravens identified him as the man, he received double-digit carries each of the last 12 games of the season. From weeks 8 to 17, Collins was running back 8, RB8. Even in standard format, dude has some double-digit fantasy points in 5 of the last 7 games of the season. As much as the Ravens would like to remain versatile, we know what play caller Marty Morningweg likes to do. Run the ball. Last season, the Ravens attempted the 7 most runs of any team in the NFL. There's a lot of moving pieces on that Ravens offensive line, but it should not be a huge concern as Collins is just going to get the first and second down work. Also, Kenneth Dixon is very injury prone, so the Ravens could find themselves in a scenario where they're giving nearly all the touches to Collins. His ADP or average draft pick suggests that the 4th round is where he's going to go, but I'm telling you to take him if he's here over some of the other options that will be there simply because the upside is very real. Oh, yes, y'all. Very real indeed. Kenyon Drake. Our last target in the 3rd round is Kenyon Drake. But first off, let me say I think the O-line takes a step forward in Miami simply because they won't have to do the whole Willie or Loney thing that they were stuck with Pouncey at center. That's over now, and the time is now to establish stability and consistency on the offensive line. So with this in mind, Miami and Chicago stay on the swap carousel, and Jeremiah Washburn comes to the offensive line from Chicago Bears, coached the Bears up last year. The Bears finished 7th in run blocking, so Washburn is hoping to improve this team's offensive line play. You know, after the J.J. trade, Kenyon Drake actually ran pretty effectively. He had a league-high 444 yards on 91 carries in the final 5 games of the season. That's 4.88 yards per carry. We can't take him higher, though, because Frank Gore is in the mix. He's in the backfield, and he will eat touches for sure. Mr. Durability, Frank Gore, had missed the game in over 8 consecutive seasons now. That's ridiculous. 4th round. Okay, Tiger Bombers, it's on to the 4th round. My advice would be that based on the draft value we will be presented with, you probably should go wide receiver in this round. There's going to be a whole lot of value at wide receiver in the 4th round. If my draft app, you know, season-long best ball draft that I've been doing are indicators of anything, there's immense amount of value that's going to be in the 4th round. Remember, these are people that are paying to do these drafts looking for a payout into the future at the end of the season. So they're not just, it's not just your regular mock draft. They're actually trying very hard to, you know, build together the team that they think is going to win. So, you know, with that in mind, I think that you could really target wide receivers. But if you do need to target running backs, I've got 2 guys that I think you should take a look at here. I'm really probably only targeting these 2 guys in the 4th round. If they're there, I may be made with a tough call, but certainly if one of these two names isn't there, I'm not even thinking about it. I'm going to my wide receivers list. First up, we have Mark Ingram. Now, if you haven't figured it out by now, I place a premium on consistent coaching and player situations. It's just easier to predict or assess an outcome. With that in mind, you know that I love the combo of head coach Sean Payton, who calls the plays, and his offensive coordinator Pete Carmichael, because this will be their 10th year together. We've seen an incredible shift in philosophy from these guys with the Saints offense last year. Once this team understood the depth they had at running back after the emergence of Alvin, the Chevy Kamara, this became a run-first team. We saw less use of super dangerous QB Drew Brees, which added to the offense's effectiveness, actually, because you could no longer just play Drew Brees in the pass. Now you needed to be mindful of the run. Stuff the box a bit, which definitely helped open up things over the top for Brees and company. There are changes on the offensive line, but I think for the better. So they should fare better than their 18th, run blocking as a unit last year. This is a power run offense, and Ingram is a power runner for sure. The dude is built like a Mack truck. Ingram's coming off of back-to-back seasons of 16 games played. I know he's missing the first four games of the year with the suspension, but he's durable. That's the point of that statement. He's also coming off of consecutive seasons of 1,000-plus yards and double-digit touchdowns. He did this last year despite Kamara emerging as a true threat. Ingram amassed 1,124 yards on the ground, caught 58 balls as well, all in 416 yards. He added 12 touchdowns to all this too. These were all career highs for him, and he finished the year as RB6, remarkably, with Kamara finishing at RB4. The Saints have given Ingram a lot of preseason work, which should tell you something about their intentions for him week five on through to the end of the year. Now, personally, I see some reasons why I think Ingram will be the beast again. He's always shared time in the backfield with others, it seems, but amazingly, Mark Ingram needs only 735 yards to pass Deuce McAllister for Saints' all-time leading rusher. That mentioned, he's also on a contract year. We're talking about some extreme value right here because of those four games he'll miss. Jay Ajayi. My second and final fourth round target is Jay Ajayi. The man has looked good in the offseason. He actually spent a little bit of time with Deuce Staley in camp working a few things out. Ajayi claims that he's comfortable with the offense and that he's got a full grasp of the playbook and his passing assignments. All these things matter because it's also a contract year for Jay Ajayi. If he can prove himself to be a pass catcher and effective blocker, setting himself up for a pretty big payday next year. Or, I'm sorry, in two seasons, you know. His numbers are extremely small sample, but he did average 9.1 yards per catch in the regular season and 11.7 yards per catch in the playoff. That just all bodes well. This is a good offense that will keep the safeties from cheating up with a good offensive line. Ajayi only had one rushing touchdown last year, but I feel like that's just something more symptomatic of the system that they incorporated in Philly, since Blunt himself only had two. Ajayi did average 5.8 yards per carry for the Eagles in the regular season and then 4.4 yards per carry in the playoffs. Needless to say, I am intrigued. So, that's it. Again, if you've missed episode one of the process, go back and review for your understanding of the first round and then what to do after the fourth round. That was just the running backs, but in episode one. But we could do, and I'm sorry, in this episode two, we kind of cued in on the running backs, whereas in the first episode is a little more overall. But hey, if you guys want to do something like wide receivers as well, we could do that also, or any other positions for that matter. The next episode of the process will be released over the holiday weekend, this weekend, and we'll cover whatever you ask us, as well as what we have planned already for you, you Tiger Bombers. So you guys can email the team at theprocess@tigerbombsae.com. Again, that's The Process at TigerBombSAE.com. You can also tweet us at The Process, TBSAE. And I would not mind answering anything you have over there as well. You can get a quick answer that way from somebody on the team. And you can find this podcast on our website, www.TigerBombSAE.com. If you click on The Process page, you can listen, but you can also see the other info that will be available on the site during the upcoming season. You can also find this podcast on Spotify, TuneIn, and Stitcher.
The Process has been brought to you by Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment, LLC.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.